You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm on the coast of this wonderful podcast, and as I fight through a sore throat, I will do today's final season review. We have now reviewed 17 Pacer players with today's podcast. Check out all those past ones from Victor Oladipo to Domantas Sabonis to TJ Warren to TJ McConnell. Check out all those podcasts on our Locked On Pacers feed on this feed, listening to this podcast. But on today's podcast, I'm going to do the one, the only, Caris LeVert. Talk about his future with the Pacers, where he goes from here next season, his good and bad skills from this season. But to start off the podcast, as always, we do one word to describe the player's season. And I think the best way to describe LeVert's 2020-2021 season is recuperate. Obviously, he recovered from a laceration on his kidney. We never really got any indication of what it, like, with his cancers or whatnot, but he ended up missing, I think, almost 6 weeks of the season. He got traded to the Pacers on January 13th, I think. January 13th or 14th range, and he returned March 13th. So 8 weeks nearly was out for the season, but I believe he had surgery. It took about 6 weeks to get back. With the Pacers, he had a pretty solid 35 games with the team. He put up 20.7 points, 4.6 rebounds, and 4.9 assists. He shot 44% from the field, 32% from three, and 82% from the line. Obviously, the three-point shooting was not ideal, I guess, for the overall season, but I think if you look at it, you kind of break him down by games. It took him, I would say, a good, let's call it 10, 15 games to really kind of get back in shape, get back in the flow. If you look at basically every game he played since the end of April to the end of the season in May, he ended up shooting closer to 33%, and then you look at just his May games, it gets even better. His May shooting percentage from three and nine games was 40%, so he just progressively got better throughout the year from the three-point range. I think some of that was just getting in conditioning shape. The other part of that was sort of meshing with the other players, figuring out where his spots are, things like that. He got better. I mean, it was the kind of thing where, like, you have very low expectations for him coming into the season with the Pacers because he was this mid-year trade. The team, he was obviously, like, recovering from what we weren't sure could have been, like, a major, like, life-threatening type injury, frankly. And so, you know, he was going to take a little bit to adjust to just playing with these new players, and it took a while for him to get back into shape and stuff. And really, by the end of the season, he looked really superb. I mean, he did take advantage of some really crappy teams. Like, he scored 35 against the Wizards. He scored, or 33 and 35 against the Wizards, who were one of the worst defensive teams in the league outside of the Pacers, frankly, in the year. He had another 36-point game against Brooklyn, his former team, where they got smoked. I mean, he had some games where he scored a lot of points and games they got blown out in. But his stat line still looked good, and it was encouraging. He was moving in the right direction for this next season, where I feel like going into next year now, he's pretty much understands how to play with Sabonis, play with Malcolm, play with, you know, the core guys, play with Turner, not with Warren, obviously, but we'll see how he adjusts. But even knows how to play with O'Shea, depending on the bring McConnell, Sumner, Holloway. He's played with all these guys now, so he won't come the next season just like, you know, it won't be fresh. Like, it'll be very, like, he'll have some chemistry built up, which will add and hopefully be useful heading into next season, where I think the Pacers have a legit chance to be a top six team if he plays the level he played basically his last year in Brooklyn and this year. Right now, the big thing with LeVert is games played. That's, like, the number one stat for me. In the last 3 years, he has not played more than 47 games in a season, which is concerning. He played 47 this year, 45 the year before, and 40 the year before that, and 71 in his second season. So, can he stay healthy? Can he play a full, we're not talking 82 games, can he play 70 games in a season? That will be a real test for him to see. And so, I mean, obviously, the kidney thing seems to get past that. So now it's other injuries, like, I want to say he broke a leg, or, you know, broke some kind of bone a couple years ago, maybe even an ACL tear. He's had some few injuries in the past, but they should be getting good years out of him. He's coming into the prime of his career. He's going to be 27 years old, so they're starting to get in that kind of prime LeVert, and I think he'll blend well with some of the other players. Other stats I like from this year, you just go down them real quick. He managed to be incredibly impressive inside 3 feet when he can get in the lane. He shot 60 for the Pacers, at least in their 35 games. He shot 66% from inside 3 feet. The thing about him, like any like most players now in this league, he's really become an inside and outside threat and doesn't really mess with the mid-range game the same way, right? So you look at his shots taken about 60-something percent, give or take, taking either from the three-point line or from inside 3 feet versus about, obviously, 40 from the other ranges. Basically, shooting-wise, his splits were really solid in almost every part of the floor except for the three-point line this year. Like I said, he got, honestly, progressively better. If you look at, like, his 2019-20 season, I'm sorry, he shot 36% from three, and that's where he probably has to be at for the Pacers. I think the biggest thing with him with his stats-wise is, like, how many of his shots does he actually take this next season, right? So the past, let's do last two seasons he's played. He took 16 shots in Brooklyn last year and 17 in his Brooklyn-Indiana splits this year. I don't know if he's going to take that many shots again. Obviously, with Warren returning, and see who else they bring in, if they bring in somebody else to play the four besides Turner or whatever, there'll be just more shots for other guys, so I could see that coming back down. And so could he become more like a 13-shot guy but be super efficient? That would be pretty impressive. I think, you know, I think on 13 shots, he could still score 16 points. I think that's probably the sweet spot for him heading forward, is somewhere between that, like, let's call it 14 to 18 range of points per game. I mean, obviously, he'll have some flashes here or there, but like that's probably where he's got to be. I think he's going to have to be part of kind of a balanced attack for the Pacers next year. And so I think he can probably do it. The question on the other side for him is defensively. His defensive rating was not too great. It hasn't really been that great this season. I believe it ended up being like a 112 compared to, I think the team ended up about one. Let me look it up real fast. He had a 112 defensive rating, but where the team was average. So he is kind of an average defender. The Pacers need to be better defense next year, so he probably has to improve that rating slightly to be able to just be a little bit better defender. But I think, you know, he'll be in situations where he kind of was the, like, best perimeter defender. I mean, or was kind of forced to guard the best perimeter defending players because they're basically playing, like, a combination of Justin Holiday or McDermott at that three spot, and neither of them are that. I mean, Holiday can kind of do it as well, and they did let Holiday do it, but LeVert still is kind of forced into some bad spots where I think when you get kind of back into a normal lineup, Warren's probably going to guard other teams, you know, best small forward, whatever you want to call it. Maybe even if they find that four spot, that guy, well, like O'Shea could probably do it a little bit. And then Malcolm's number two defender, and you're probably going to get LeVert as number three defender, frankly. Now it depends, I guess, with Warren's foot, what happens there. But like Warren was a really good defender in his first year at the Pacers. And so if he, you know, hopefully he can slap back into that role. But yeah, I mean, I think LeVert's, you know, numbers this year were a little bit of like good stats, bad team numbers, because the team was not very good, frankly, with him. But that was not just him; it was just a whole bunch of other factors. But I do think it shows some signs. Like I just don't expect him to be a 20-point a game guy, frankly, going forward. I think like if he's at 15, the Pacers are solid. I think if he's 20 points a game, you're probably looking at injuries unless he becomes your number one option. But I don't know if he's like, you know, surefire number one. I think the biggest thing with LeVert is the expectation game with him, frankly, right? So you look at, like, right, he replaced Oladipo, who hasn't been good for the Pacers in, like, 3 years or 2 years. But Oladipo at his best, which is not as good as LeVert at his best, but Oladipo couldn't stay healthy. So can LeVert be, you know, 80% of Oladipo, but can he play 75 games consistently or 70 games like that? That will be the test for him. So we'll see what he can do next season. But I think the stats this year are an encouraging sign. I think, truly, you kind of, like, look at this last season as sort of just a test run for him to kind of get acclimated, and hopefully he can kind of take off next year with efficiency-wise, not the per-game numbers, but just efficient-wise, maybe be a 35% plus three-point shooter and 45% plus from the field is probably good enough to make him, you know, we'll call it a top 100 player in the NBA, put those numbers next season. All right, so now I want to talk about his good and bad skills this last season, kind of dive into the steps a little deeper and look at like what we liked and didn't like to buy him from his last year. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The baseball season is full swing, and we are almost to the NFL season, and BetOnline.ag is the best place to go for the latest news, odds, and info on all your sporting needs. They have the four major sports for news, as well as UFC and MMA action. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline.ag on your laptop or device and check out all the great news, sign-up bonuses, contest information. Head over to the website today and you get a 50% welcome bonus when you sign up using the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for a 50 Welcome bonus on betonline.ag. I'm a big fan of their future bets. Go check out some of those. A lot of NFL future odds. You can do that. Over-unders, division winners, Super Bowl winners, all of that kind of stuff. BetOnline.ag is the best place to go to check out all those kind of bets, whether it's in-game or future, whatever it is. You can bet on BetOnline.ag, which is your online sports book experts. So if you dive into LeVert just a little bit deeper, and you kind of just look at like the things he did well and the things he didn't do well last season, I think what he did well was he helped carry the Pacers team offensively when they needed it. Right, I mean, I think you got to kind of wipe out his first, like I said, 10, 15 games. But if you really start looking at it, like from April on, he ends up having, I think, he ends up playing 25 games, averaging 23 points. Right, he was a legit offensive player for this team. Now, I do think you have to caveat the NBA, where I think points in general for players, like I think like if you look at the league, let's say 15, 20 years ago, times every player's stats by points by 1.5. Right, and that's what the league is today. So, right, so if you divide his by 2/3, he ends up somewhere with like 16 points. But still, he put up 23 points, which isn't easy in a 25 game stretch. He shot 46% from the field, which is pretty solid. He didn't shoot great from three, but this is what I think what it shows is that he can carry the offensive burden at times. Now, the other problem in these 25 games is they weren't that great. But I don't think that was really much to him. I think he certainly tried to help them win. I mean, I think they were probably like about 500 in those 25 games now that I think about it. Remember, April was the high expectation where they would like win a ton of games and they just kind of were like middling. They probably went, I think, like 12 and 13 or, you know, I think 11 and 14. I'm kind of doing quick math in these games, which is not terrible. But what it does, like I said, what it shows is he can carry an offense when it's needed. And I think that's something that the Pacers, just you can never have too much of that, right? Warren is somebody who can do that at times. Sabonis can do that at times. That's three guys. Hopefully you can find somebody, you know, off the bench who can at least put up good offensive numbers like a McDermott or a replacement for him. But you really can't have enough players who can just kind of score on their own, frankly. Because, like, look at the Pacers, like, what, 2018-19, when they had all those quarters that couldn't score 20 or more points because they basically Bowen was the offense and they had nobody else. And you had Corey Joseph running around just trying to put up points and he couldn't do it. And it was just like a slog. So they have a lot of skilled offensive players. The question will be is how do they blend, right? So LeVert is a 5 assists per game guy. So he's not like somebody who doesn't pass the ball. He even, I believe, had two double digit assist games for the Pacers in the last three in the last six games of the season. There's only ones. He had 12 assists against Atlanta, 10 against Cleveland, and 12 against the Lakers. They ended up winning two of those three games. So, you know, that's a good sign. When he passes, they do end up winning, it seems like, a little bit. But small sample size, super small sample size. But he can pass the ball, right? He's not just, like, Warren is a little bit bad. It's not the best passer. I think what it also shows is LeVert can, and I like to see more of this next year, frankly. We'll talk about this in the last segment. But he can sort of be a point guard-ish, right? He maybe is not, like, the perfect point guard, your ideal point guard. But he can at least be in that spot, aim the ball, and get the offense flowing. And I think they'll be interesting to see. Right, we saw kind of how he played with Sabonis, which is pretty good. We saw how he played with Brogdon a little bit. And they seem to play well off each other. I just think they needed more talent surrounding them at times, right? And I think that's where Warren comes in. Warren will be, like, the best player. I mean, his return is like, you can't underestimate how big it is considering how good he was in his first season with the Pacers. And that Pacers team was really good. And they almost won, you know, if they played a full season, 50-plus games that year, if, you know, that Warren, for Warren's first year, he's basically the best player on that team that season, so that should help. They tweak the edges a little bit and bring in a real four, or they play O'Shea more. That should help LeVert have more spread out kind of play. So I think his passing is certainly, I think it actually probably slightly better than Oladipo's passing was. Oladipo was, he was an okay passer. I just think sometimes he was so determined to score, he didn't always give up the ball, but LeVert can be the same way. So, you know, a lot of times, like LeVert to me is kind of where Oladipo, somewhere between where Oladipo was that last year, last year in Orlando, in that first year in Indiana, right? He wasn't quite, isn't quite Oladipo first year level, but isn't quite as bad as, you know, Oladipo was last year in Oklahoma City, somewhere in the middle, and that's fine. I mean, that's a good basketball player, and so if LeVert is the second or third offensive option, you're fine. But, you know, I do think we saw that he can play off Sabonis pretty well. He can pass the ball at times when he needs to. And he can at times just carry the offense. He'll take 20 shots. You know, he took 30 shots in the game. Maybe that's too many. But he'll take, you know, if there's nights where guys are hurt and he's got to step up, he can step up and score a bunch of points. Now we'll see if they have, you know, enough supporting cast even on a night with injuries to win. But, I think a good example is you take the Cleveland game against a really bad Cleveland team, right? He had a really nice night, 20 points, 10 assists. Like, he carried the team offensively that night. He shot 2 of 4 from 3, 8 of 19. He took a ton of shots. I mean, he didn't take, like, 30 shots or 28 shots, but he took a good amount of shots, but he was able to kind of carry the team that game and be the best offensive player on the team. And so, I mean, that's what he can do some nights. And that, I haven't dove into that Cleveland game specifically, like, who actually, I'm going to go off my head right now, who actually played and didn't play, but, like, yeah, I assumed, I was thinking, Brogdon didn't play in that game. The starting lineup was LeVert, Sabonis, O'Shea, McDermott, Sumner. So, yeah, he carried the game, carried the offense, you know, Sabonis had 21 points and 20 rebounds, but, like, they played well off each other and were able to beat a bad team, and that's what you kind of want for the Pacers, I think, next season. It's just a team that can beat the bad teams. The Pacers were so good at that in the previous years, where, like, they didn't lose to the Cleveland, to the Bulls, to the Magic, to the Wizards, even who weren't that good. You know, the Wizards were okay this year, but the Pacers, like, in a normal year, would beat the Wizards 3 out of 4 games. Certainly lose once, but, you know, or they beat the Charlottes, who also was, like, you know, the Pacers would consistently beat every team that was 8 seed down in the East, and that's how they were able to get 48 wins consistently under McMillan, and they just weren't that way last year, so it'd be nice to see that return this year. If they could just kind of beat up on the bad teams that pop those wins, and then, you know, have a couple of nice games against the good teams to take them forward, and that's kind of the recipe for me for the Pacers to be, like, a decent team next season. And that will play a big role in that. That's what we're talking about next, is his role next year, what I expect out of him, and why I'm excited to watch him next season. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you also by Built Bar. Built Bar is that wonderful protein bar we've been talking about forever on this podcast now, over a year. They make all these delicious flavors like coconut, cherry, barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, creams, and German chocolate, as well as a bunch of limited time flavors. They're awesome. Built Bars come in these 9 flavors per box. You get 2 of each, basically, so 18 bars per box. Built Bar is fantastic. I love Built Bar. I've said it over and over again, but it is my favorite mid-afternoon meal snack. Between meal snack, that means when I, you know, between the lunch and dinner, I need a little something. They're perfect. They're 180 calories. They're high in protein. Great for when I've worked out to help build up some of that muscle. I love Built Bar, and you will love Built Bar too. If you go to built.com, I got a new website, built.com, you can code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15. You get 15% off your next order. Go to built.com, code LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order. Built Bar is an amazing protein bar company. Try them today. So I've teased it a few times, what I expect from LeVert next season. I expect him to be probably in the, let's call it 14 points to 18 points per game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Now the question for me is, can he shoot 35% from 3 and 45% from the field? That will be the make or break for him this next season, whether it's efficient or not. I do not expect him to take 17 shots per game. So if we look at the Pacers roster this last year, the field goal per game will be a little screwy because, right, LeVert only played 35, Brogdon played 56, so, and Sabonis played 62. But Malcolm took 17.5 per game, Sabonis took 14.6 per game, LeVert took 17.5 per game, basically replacing Oladipo's 17 per game. And then it kind of is diminishing there. McDermott 10, Miles 9. I mean, all things that I would expect, even if they're not there for a player of their quality to basically slot into. So then where do Warren shots come from, right? Because Warren took 15 shots per game 2 seasons ago. Brogdon took 14, Sabonis took 14. So I expect Brogdon to probably give up 4 or 5 shots to Sabonis, or to Warren, I'm sorry. And I expect the same thing from LeVert, and then, you know, you'll see margin from everybody else, a shot or two from every other player. Because I think Warren will probably be at 15 shots a game as well. I think we'll see what we'll see is a similar stat line from both Warren and LeVert. And it'll just be kind of like, whose night is it? Who's feeling it? And we'll see some staggering of those two, I would hope, in a way where LeVert can kind of lead the bench unit at times because he has some of those point guard skills. But I think they'll be fun to play off each other too. I think the three-headed monster of LeVert, Warren, Brogdon should be really nice. And then you have to add Sabonis in there to kind of be like the screen man, or even at times to be the ball handler and spread those three out. Should be really good for this team. I think it should be like a really, really good offensive season for the Pacers. Right, last year they were 14th in offensive rating at 112. The year before they were 19th. I mean, we haven't had a Pacers team When's that time they've been top 10 in offensive rating? They were 11th in 2017-18. That was pretty good. That was the Victor Oladipo year. It's got to be back when they were like really good in 2013-14. Nope, they were first in defense, 23rd in offense. Yeah, I don't think we've had a top... Okay, 2011-2012, the Patriots were 7th in offensive rating. I think the Patriots could have a top 10 offensive rating again this season. That wouldn't surprise me. Now, defensively, that would be the struggles. That would be LeVert's biggest issue is Kenyon Warren, who I think was a good defender 2 years ago, but, you know, with injuries and whatnot, how does he return? Does he, you know, have the same level of intensity, all that kind of stuff? Will be interesting, but that will be the struggle for them. But I think offensively they could be a top 10 offense just because they have a lot of players who I think have ability to score a lot of points, and they can honestly be efficient if they have the right guys helming the offense, right? If you let the offense run through Brogdon 40% of the time, let's say 20% Sabonis, 15% Karras, 15% Warren, and then I mean that's with the starters, and then maybe on the, you know, the bench you give like 10, you know, get some bench with the bench lineup is carrying it a little more. They have a chance to really, I think, be a pretty good team this year offensively, because those are four guys who can carry offenses in their own at times, right? None of those four players, I guess Warren kind of shown it, can carry an offense and be like a winning team. Pitched for that way last year with Warren a little bit, but they're all really good players. Where like put them around the right, you know, system, and you let them carry a little bit, they can get you, you know, each one can have a different 20-point night this season. A couple of them get 25 or 30 points, which could help, you know, carry the teams at nights when other guys are not feeling it. And so it should be kind of exciting. I think LeVert fits in well with the rest of this team. And I think the starting lineup is going to be good. I mean, I think they're just going to have a lot of good starters. They might not have any great, you know, Sabonis will be borderline all-star probably again. Probably won't have any great all-stars, but they'll have a lot of good players in the starting lineup. But that's hard to come by, right? Five guys who would all be stars on other teams is hard to come by. Every team has a weak spot. Pacers probably is that fifth spot, but if Turner is there, he's definitely a starter. If they find a guy, you know, who can play four, hopefully that guy can kind of fit in. So I'm excited for what the team can do next year. I think if I had to like guess right now, I would say LeVert finishes the season, like I said, 16 points, 5-5, 44% from the field and 36 from three. That would be my guess for him. But we'll just have to see what happens next season. So that's it for our season, player season review. Next week we'll have podcast previewing the draft and free agency. I will be off on Monday's podcast. Tony will be doing that, but then we'll be together the rest of the week. Should be pretty exciting in the next 2-3 weeks. We head into the draft, who the Patriots will take, the 13th pick, who they'll sign in free agency, will McDermott back, will McConnell be back, will somebody else be back, will they trade somebody? We'll have to find out. It could be a crazy couple of weeks for the Pacers. Could see a lot of moves, could see a lot of change, or just a lot of rumors like last year, but for whatever's going on, we'll be the place to give you all the Pacer content. You can follow us on Twitter at LockedOnPacers, me at FreeMadam5, my co-host Tony's at TEastMBA. That is all for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. We will see you guys again next week.